This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
I know what you're thinking. Mine's bigger than yours, right? It's not fair. Throw it away. All right. They're coming! The rats are coming! Thousands of them!
Tell me about Disneyland.
They got tons of popcorn there.
Yeah.
And all you gotta do is go climb a tree to go eat it.
It was a night like any other night. Then, something happened.
Oh, good Lord! It's unbelievable. It's horrible.
Hey, wait! There's something weird here.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, my name's Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, post-apocalyptic wasteland, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1960s to today. Check us out at reallyawfulmovies.com, part of the Crypt TV family.
From our temporary headquarters at the Winking Judge Bar in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. This is a special edition of the Really Awful Movies podcast with special effects maven from the Butcher Shop, Carlos Henricks.
From the Butcher Shop in beautiful Hamilton, Ontario, we are here with Carlos Henricks, an effects man, a makeup man. What else are you, Carlos?
Renaissance man.
I like that. Yeah.
The Butcher Shop, I mean, these guys have done work on Devil's Night, Evil Dead the Musical, Resident Evil Afterlife, the upcoming Save Yourself, Fatal Pictures, incredibly awesome shorts, Consumption, Familiar, Air, the brilliant short The Last Halloween, Berkshire County, Female Werewolf, directed by Chris Alexander, Celebrity Deathmatch, Death Race, the upcoming Hunter's Moon, and the list goes on. How's it going, Carlos?
Good, man, good. How you guys doing?
Good. Doing good now.
You're
doing
well, man. Good
to be in the shop.
Yeah, you bet. Cheers.
Cheers.
Rock and roll.
Enjoying a few beverages as we want to do.
All right. What do you guys want to talk about?
Let's see. Life, the universe, and everything else.
Yeah.
No, let's talk about the Butcher Shop.
Yeah, how you got into this line of work.
Well, I'm just like one of those young guys, right? Growing up watching TV and, mm-hmm. you know, being obsessed with any horror monster stuff, like Creepshow did it for me. I remember when I was probably about 5 years old watching City TV and Creepshow was on and I was blown away, man. Mm-hmm. I was blown away. I couldn't understand, like, this is so amazing. And I was hooked and I watched until the end, and shortly after I watched Thriller, Michael Jackson's Thriller, and it terrified me. I used to like run behind the couch. I was so afraid to see it. Mm-hmm. And those two things are my big things. And then Fangoria, reading Fangoria.
Right, right.
And that was it, man. I wanted to do, make monsters.
So as a young kid, right away you knew that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And were your parents supportive of this?
Yeah, oh, yeah, my parents were awesome.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, yeah, man. My room growing up was, there's pictures of, like, melting guys, mm-hmm. and from Gorzone magazine, how they used to have those polo posters.
For sure, yep.
Yeah, my room was just filled with, like, polo posters of melting guys and corpses and werewolves.
Now, of course, there's a difference between wanting to make monsters. I mean, I want to make monsters, right? But I don't have the talent to make monsters. You see what I mean?
I think you got the talent to make monsters as well.
You think so? Are we talking literal? Like, I mean,
I think you can do it.
No, but I mean, but what I'm saying is, I don't really have much artistic talent in that regard, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, here you are, a young man, right? And you want to make monsters. So obviously, I mean, you're gonna, you're in high school, you got your art classes and so on and so forth. But you're not making, your Freddy's and your Jason. You're making, whatever. teachers tell you to do, right?
I started off making turds as well, man. Don't worry.
You made turds? Oh, we were both in shop class, not together. I, you know, made a stool and drilled a hole in the wrong, like, leg to put the cross pieces in. So, yeah, no artistic, you know, or workmanlike ability on my side. I don't know.
I made many a stool, but not in shop class.
No, I did all the art class stuff. Set up man over here. I did all that art stuff class, and, you know, man, it took a little bit of time, you know.
Uh-huh.
Some of the stuff was pretty bad. But, okay. I've been doing this my whole life, so...
I guess what I'm trying to ask you is, like, how did you learn your craft? I mean, did you go to school for effects makeup, or...
Well, I took lots of those art classes, and I loved art, and I was always drawing when I was home. Like, a lot of people were out playing sports and everything. I was, you know, in my dark room drawing away, and, you know, drawing the Freddy Kruegers and the Jasons and all that, and, you know, I still have a lot of those pictures, and I look back on it, and... You know, some of them are pretty bad, but, you know, I just keep doing it, and you eventually get better, and, yeah, and then I ended up going to school, Complexions in Toronto,
okay,
and, yeah, they taught us the skills of how to sculpt and mold make, and do things like that, and that's also where I met Ryan,
right.
My partner.
Right, this is Ryan Luaggi, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. Ryan Luaggi, and, yeah, we kind of decided... You know, instead of doing it by ourselves, which we were doing for a couple of years, why not team up and, you know, form the butcher shop and, you know, combine our forces.
So what year did the butcher shop come into existence?
I'd say probably about 2005, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
But we attended school 2001.
And what was the first major project you guys worked on together?
The first thing that we worked together on was a film called Why Girls, directed by Christopher Harrison. It was more of a drama-style film, but someone did get shot in the face in the film, and we did that, and the guy committed suicide in the tub, so we did, like, these spurting blood thing. Like, it looked pretty bad for the time, but kind of got us going, and, yeah... Eventually, one of the bigger things we ended up getting was Silent But Deadly in 2006, which was a slasher film with Jason Mewes, and Devil's Night, I think that was about 2007, and that's when we started to slowly go, okay, we can do this, we can do this, and yeah, the projects just kept coming.
Yeah, I'm looking at the poster right now for Silent But Deadly, you got that up there, and you got the poster for Devil's Night, Death Race, The Collapse, man, this shop is just incredible, man, you got amazing stuff everywhere. But...
Thanks, man.
Okay, so then you guys started working together, and it just sort of snowballed from there. You start getting more and more bigger projects.
Bigger projects and smaller projects, too. Like, our favorite stuff are the smaller projects, the independent stuff. Like you mentioned earlier, the Fatal Pictures guys, like, we love working on that stuff. Like, the hair and, you know, Familiar, like, we have a blast. Those guys give us complete creative control, which... You know, being an effects guy, that's kind of what you want, instead of someone just telling you what to do the whole time. So, with the smaller films, you get that. The bigger films, it's a little bit tougher to get that. So we do both.
I was just going to say, how far do they want their dollar to stretch? Like, what can you do with given the budget?
Yeah, pretty much budget's everything. Bigger the budget, the more we can do, obviously. I wouldn't just say it's the budget, though. It's also creativity.
So you have to have... Yeah, you have to be really invested in something to do your best work, and or you take whatever project comes down the pike, or...
Well, I'm one of those guys, I don't like to say no to things, so whether it's small or big, I still like to take... I'd like to... we could just bring other people into the crew. So instead of, you know, just working at the shop, one, two people, I like to bring in, you know, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, and just work on three or four projects at the same time. But I find individually each project... people that have the bigger ideas and really think about what they want, those are the films that come out the best. Some people are very happy with subtle, and generally that's what you get, is a subtle movie, which is kind of, you know.
What's your favorite kind of thing to work on, then?
Yeah, oh, definitely the monster stuff. Yep, monster stuff's the best.
Okay, so we're talking back about, you know, your childhood, and you mentioned, you know, seeing Thriller, right? And of course that's Rick Baker, right?
Yep.
What other influences did you have growing up in terms of the makeup man?
You know, I mentioned Creepshow earlier with Tom Savini.
Tom Savini, of course, yep.
Yeah, Tom Savini was a huge part of that with the Friday the 13th as well, Dawn of the Dead. Mm-hmm. Day of the Dead, that stuff was mind-blowing back in the day.
Yep.
Chris Wallace with Gremlins, the Gremlins movies. For sure. It was a huge...
Sorry, I just have to laugh. It's like we're going up an elevator in the Hyatt or something.
It's
like someone's going to be tickling the ivories at a shitty hotel bar.
Come on, man.
It's so good. Yeah,
it's a great musical mix, man.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
This is good. It fits the mood. This is horror.
Yeah, this is horror. This is
horror.
Yeah,
that's what this is.
Forget like this is Halloween. This is horror, man. Lawrence Welk is... All right, sorry. So, okay, back to... So, Baker. We're talking
Rick
about
Baker,
Savini.
Yeah.
Gremlins.
Yeah, and I love the Dario Argento stuff, too. And, Sergio Stivaletti with the demons and, zombies. And,
yeah,
the Fulci stuff.
Yep.
Like, oh, man, all that stuff. The really cheesy stuff too, like the John Buechler stuff, the Ghoulies.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, I'm a huge, like, I love the cheese, man.
Yeah.
Bring me the cheese.
Yep. I like a little bit of fromage myself. I like a bit of cheese. Has there ever been a film you worked on, now you don't have to name names, where you just invested, like, your heart, your soul, everything you put into it, but when you saw the finished product on screen, it just didn't click for you?
Happens all the time, my friend.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. I'd say, maybe I shouldn't say.
You don't have to name names.
As long as you're proud of your own work, and then people can always say, the project didn't cohere, but this was awesome. So you at least get that. I mean, that's, you can't control script and acting and whatever. You do what it is that you do. I mean,
when we work on a project, we just try to make sure that the effects are good. That's the only thing we have control over.
Right.
Everything else is up to, the actors, the producers, the directors. Like, we have no control over that, so we can't really we work on a lot of stinkers, man. I'm not going to pretend. We work on a lot of stinkers. We work on a lot of good stuff, too, though,
I was going to ask about, because we're going to be obviously posting pictures along with this podcast and that. I was wondering about the charred corpse there. Like, how does one make that?
Well, obviously you got to do some research beforehand. You're going to get some reference, right?
Yeah.
Like anatomical corpses. Textbooks and whatever else, or
forensic photos.
Yeah, you bet. That's a charred corpse there. That's for an upcoming film called Bed of the Dead, and that's a Black Fawn feature. Should be out early next year. But that was done by creating. We did a body cast. Then we made a mold. We pulled out a body, and then we started burning it for real. And then we started adding skeleton bones here and there, and obviously using reference material, looking at burned bodies and all that. And yeah, that's how that was created.
Have you ever had a filmmaker tell you you've gone too far?
No.
No?
No, I don't think we go far enough.
Okay.
Yeah, all you filmmakers out there, let's go. Come on, let's push the limits. Let's do this.
So, That's a good segue into my next question. If you're going to name the quintessential gore film, let's say your favorite gore film.
Or death scene.
Well, let's start with the... Yeah.
Okay,
a gore film or death scene, what would it be? Like, for example, we did a podcast recently on Dead Alive, right? Which is obviously one of the goriest films ever made, right?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? I mean, what's your favorite movie?
My favorite gore movie is... the one I keep going back to is probably Cannibal Ferox. Yeah, I love the Cannibal movies and Cannibal Ferox, man. That's the ultimate party gore movie.
Not for me, man. I hate Cannibal movies. I really do. I don't know what it is, man.
I don't know. To me, they're super fun.
Yeah?
Super good times.
Come on. Giovanni Lombardo Radice getting his member lopped off.
So good. I could watch that all day.
That's the whole thing. Like, when it comes to horror, man, I have a cast iron stomach. I can watch anything and everything. I'm not a big fan of the whole guinea pig shit, you know, those pseudo snuff. But, like, I don't know about, like, when it comes to cannibal.
Maybe it's just because, when I was in sixth grade, we rented, me and my buddies rented Dr. Butcher MD.
Oh,
and then
so
there was a great,
that's, I don't consider that a cannibal film. That's,
well, there's like entrails being ripped out and like lots of eating of intestines. And you know, it's almost like sausage making coming out of the gut.
Yeah.
You know? And it was, but they are generally very slow moving. It's kind of boring in a way. But I like
it's totally a cannibal movie. No, at its heart, though.
But I'll tell you what it is about the cannibal movies is the animal cruelty I can't take.
Yeah, well, I can't take that either.
That movie is especially.
Yeah, and that's why, like, for example, Dr. Butcher doesn't have any of that stuff. So that's why true. I can take that. But yeah,
well, it was a different time, right? Like, distributors wanted that kind of stuff in those movies. Mm-hmm. You know, as much gore as they could fit in. That was the whole point of those movies. Mm-hmm. They didn't care if it was real, if it was fake.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I could watch, you know, any horror movie. See somebody, you know, dismembered, hacked to pieces in a million different ways. Love it, you know. Oh yeah, I gotta rewind that. I gotta pause it. I gotta, you know. But the second I see, let's say, a dog get it or something, I'm like, no, man, you went too far. You know,
I don't like teeth or needles. So Brandon Cronenberg's Antiviral or something, I just can't. You know, just needle after needle after needle and whatever. I always forget them. Is it Marathon Man? The Dustin Hoffman thing, where his teeth are knocked out. I can't take it. Anything you can't watch?
I don't like the animal cruelty stuff either. Uh-huh. No, like, I love the cannibal movie stuff, but yeah, I know it's a product of its time or whatever, but I can't stand that stuff either.
Yeah.
Like, even like the Friday the 13th when they kill that snake. Like, that's the craziest death in that whole movie. Mm-hmm. I can't watch that.
And what are your thoughts about, like, you know, for example, the guinea pig films and the toe tag stuff?
I prefer the party style movies,
right?
Like you know, like the Saws and all that, like, that's not really my cup of tea. You know, every once in a while I like to watch a movie like that, but I definitely like the Ghoulies and the Killer Clowns from Outer Space and you know, when people are dying, it's more of a fun kind of woo, let's party it up, where you're not really taking it seriously.
Man, the Kyoto Brothers are incredible.
Awesome. Even like we were talking about the Frank Henenlotter stuff earlier. Like, man, I wish they would make more of that stuff. The brain damage. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, even like the original Basket Case. Like, I loved like the whole, like, we're talking about keys and everything. Like, you know, the stop motion and everything.
Yeah.
And it was so charming. And even when, you know, Belial's attacking, it's just this inanimate puppet, and people are just, like, you know, holding their face and like flouncing around. It's fucking awesome.
Even the glowing eyes. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, they put the glowing eyes there. It's like, oh my god, glowing eyes. Mm-hmm. But you look at it, and it's just like a puppet with glowing eyes. But so, for the first time, it's amazing.
Yeah. And my opinion still holds up because, and this is a segue,
these effects are sparing.
Not sparing, but practical.
What else? You know what you can do given your constraints.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't automatically believe that less is more. Sometimes more is more. You know what I mean? I like a good gore fest. But I wanted to get Carlos's opinion, what you said before, about his favorite death scene in a movie. Mm-hmm.
Favorite death scene? Oh god, there's so many, man. There's so many.
We both kind of like the shotgun blast of Maniac. Is that
pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, just to showcase,
I think the Scanners one is better, personally.
I think
it's a much better one.
I saw a meme with, like, well, now ex-Prime Minister Stephen Harper, where they put him in it, and then just boom, it was just great.
Oh,
but yeah.
Oh god.
That's incredible.
Yeah, the head explosions are... Even like Rambo, the new Rambo, that head explosion.
That movie was fucking awesome. That was a horror film. That was incredible. I watched that movie from like the beginning to the end with such a smile on my face because that was a stalker movie. Rambo became a stalker in that movie.
I took my dad to see that
stalker
movie.
Stalker slasher movie, sorry.
That's the only movie I've taken my dad to see at a cinema. And I've never taken him one since. Like the part where the one guy gets it in the stomach. I could hear my dad actually go, oh! he yelled it out loud in the cinema. It was so good.
So when I saw that movie, I was actually backpacking through Thailand. And that movie was actually, even though it took place in Burma, right? It was lens in Thailand. Mm. And I wanted to see the movie really badly.
Yeah.
So I bought a bootleg on the street, you know, the day it came out, like day and date, man. And took it back to the shitty little hostel room I was staying in and put it in. And I was just like, yes! It was incredible.
Yeah, saw it on the first day when it came out with a couple buddies. Kevin, Missy buddy. But there were guys dressed up as Rambo with bandanas and everything.
This is like a total tantrum. Now we're talking about Stallone, man. Like,
yeah, Stallone's the best.
What do you think of Rocky Balboa?
Love it.
I fucking loved it, man.
Yeah, I loved it too.
I think it's the second best in the franchise after Rocky 1.
Yeah, and
well, they're gonna say Rocky 4?
Rocky 4, Rocky 3.
Rocky 4 is the most exciting. Yeah. Well, and the new one too, with the guy from what, Friday Night Lights, and whatever that superhero movie. He looks like badass.
Well, I was gonna say, if you're excited for Creed, I'm totally excited.
Looks
so excited.
Fucking cool.
It's gonna be amazing. He can do no wrong, man. Even Oscar rules. Come on, Oscar.
Oh, Oscar,
Sylvester Stallone?
Oh, I love Stallone. Over the top, man. This is the top.
Where my mommy will shoot podcast.
Well, we did do a Rhinestone podcast.
We did, yeah.
We love Rhinestone. Have you seen Rhinestone?
Drunkenstein. Okay. Drunkenstein.
I'd say it's one of his lesser ones, but that kind of killed his career a little bit, actually. You know, he was making gold up to
Stallone
then.
Stallone is like Jason Voorhees, man. Nothing can kill the guy,
yeah,
you know?
True,
he
true.
May be dead for a little while, but he will come back, you know?
Yeah.
He will come back.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, that's an interesting segue, because one thing that was really shitty about the last Expendables movie, Expendables 3, was the CG gore, you know?
Didn't even see it.
I can't fucking take it, man.
I saw PG, and I was like,
yeah.
It's
and
okay.
The blood.
Like, well, that's what I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can see doing some things for practical reasons. Mm. Pardon the, you know, pun, I guess,
yeah.
But if you can't create like an 80-foot shark, if your movie is about an 80-foot shark, they don't exist or whatever, you know, or they do as a whale shark or whatever. But like CGI blood, like who the fuck needs that? Mm-hmm. Pardon my French. Like what? Why do they do that in post just to like
the thing with
dabble
blood
onto things? It looks so bad.
Like, yeah,
where every drop of blood is lovingly placed perfectly.
See,
you don't have this material squib. Yeah.
That's the one thing that us practical guys are very, very jealous of. Because with CGI, us practical guys, when we're doing something, you're not just paying us. You're paying the director. You're paying the producer. You're paying the actors. You're paying the lighting guys. Mm. You're paying all these people on set for us to do our thing. The CGI guys, the computer-generated guys, it's just them. And they're just in their room or their studio. And you're not paying all these other departments. So that's why you get that digital blood, because some guy could just do it on his laptop at home. You don't have to pay all these people, because you're paying us, you're also paying everybody else at the same time to shoot that gag. And that's, you know, that's why George Romero, you know, does so much CGI in his films now. That's the real reason.
It's costs.
Yeah, costs. Yep. It's all costs.
But
costs.
You know what? I mean, the reality is that the final product suffers.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And yeah, if you can be judicious and save money in other areas and devote, you know, funds to what you guys do, you're better off in the end, ultimately. There's got to be ways to cut corners, but I'm not well-versed enough in how the film business runs and that, but, man, that's just such a turnoff.
Yeah, I agree. As soon as I see bad CGI, I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even like these Iron Man movies and all the superhero stuff, I see some guy flying around and it's over for me. I can't stand any of that stuff. I don't know, that's just me.
I mean, like, the way I see it is, like, CG can be used to good effect if it's used sparingly to bolster the practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep, they gotta work hand in hand, man.
Exactly. It's gotta be, you know, they gotta be sort of like, what's the word? Help me out with Chris. My vocabulary's failing.
Jeez, right on the spot. Works synergistically.
Yeah, there you go. Synergistically.
Fuck, yeah. Hell, yeah.
When I watch a movie, like, for example, you know, like, I mean, I loved the Lord of the Rings trilogy, even though there was a lot of CGI used. I thought it was used fairly okay. But then I'm watching the fucking Hobbit movies, and it just looked like a video game. It was, I couldn't take it, you know? Same with the Star Wars prequels. That's why I'm really, really happy for the new one that's coming out, because apparently they're returning to...
We have yet to see, my friend.
We have yet to see. But hopefully, there'll be at least 50-50,
that's what they said,
50, you know what I mean?
That's what they said about the Star Wars ones, too, though.
Huh.
And you saw how that went.
Yeah. Yeah, but Lucas doesn't know what the fuck he's doing anymore, so... We'll never have him on the podcast. Let's just say he's a senile man, doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, but we got Disney now.
True, but, you know...
Disney could do no wrong, right?
Well, I guess. Yeah. Well, yeah. Is there anybody associated with Disney that might come on the podcast one day?
Michael Eisner? No, I don't know.
Anyway.
He'd be a good guest, actually.
Yeah, he would be.
Why
not? I don't know. I think, yeah, you know, more, you know, Gunnar Hansen's our speed.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, lovely segue there. Tell us about, you know, your Leatherface mask.
Which I love, by the way.
Thank you.
I really, really want one.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Just make sure Jeff's not stuffing anything under his jacket after we do this interview here.
Yeah, no, we're almost
he wants everything in your shop, and I think I do as well. This place is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, we're almost completely sold out of them, if anyone's interested in the Gunnar Hansen Special Limited Edition mask. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they come with the COA signed by Gunnar Hansen, and yeah, dream come true. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
So happy to be carrying his product.
Mm-hmm. So, so getting back to CGI, like we were talking off the record on, as we were recording things at Horrorama a couple weeks ago, and you were saying that with filmmakers nowadays, there's a backlash towards CGI. They don't want that anymore.
Yep.
They want practical.
Oh, yeah. We get, usually during our first meeting, it's always like, I hate CGI. What can we do? We get that all the time. We hate CGI. We want to do a monster thing, but we can't stand CGI. What can we do? And it's like, all right, let's get rocking, man. And then, once again, the Fatal Pictures guys, like, those guys, man, if they could, we would do everything 100% practical. Obviously, a couple things like digital blinks and things like that, like, you don't really need to do that practically. Like, digitally, that works well.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes back to the thing that you were saying, where it's like, you know, you go hand in hand. If it can be done practically, why not? If you can enhance it to CGI with CGI, why not?
Well,
as long as there's something there, practically.
The thing is, like, earlier we were talking about Gremlins, right? And, we live in the age of remakes now, where they're remaking horror films, not because they should, because they could, right? And there's certain movies, not necessarily horror movies, but just, like, I'm thinking E.T., Gremlins, like, don't fucking even think about remaking those movies. If you do it, it's going to be completely CG, and it's going to be fucking awful. Can you imagine Gremlins, like, all CG?
That'd be awful. But you know what? With the technology we have today, like, I don't know if you guys have seen that Gremlins 3 thing that's on YouTube with the guy Sasha.
I have not, no.
There's a guy named Sasha who, he's a huge Gremlins fan, so he made his own pitch for Gremlins 3. And he did a lot of CGI, but it was done properly, where the gremlins were controlled with rods,
mm-hmm.
and then they digitally removed the rods,
okay.
which couldn't be done with Gremlins 1 and Gremlins 2.
Right.
So, see what I mean? You could still you could do all of that with puppets,
mm-hmm.
but just digitally remove the rods.
Like when I saw the, I got the, of course, as a child of the 80s, E.T. holds a huge special place in my heart, right? So, mm-hmm. When I got the E.T. Blu-ray, and I looked at some of the deleted scenes that they, put back in for the special edition, but then took them out again, and all of a sudden I'm looking at E.T. no longer as a puppet or as, somebody inside a costume, rubber suit, and I'm looking at a CG E.T., and it almost made me want to vomit. It was so heinous. Have you seen what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
It was horrendous.
Yeah.
Horrendous. I mean, so...
It's the Lucas thing again, man. He came back and,
Yeah.
He was the one that did all that, right? Wasn't it?
Well, yeah, Spielberg and Lucas hand in hand at that point, and that's when they took out the shotguns and put walkie-talkies instead.
What's the point of that?
Yeah. But, I'm happy to hear that there is a backlash against computer-generated special effects because, honestly, man, I'm thinking back to some of my all-time favorite horror films. Let's talk about The Thing, for example.
Yeah.
When they did the remake / prequel, what the fuck? They actually did practical effects for that, and it was incredible, but then the producers decided to take out those practical effects and replace it with CG.
Yeah.
And it was like shit.
Yeah, but then again, the backlash with that, ADI ended up making all that money through Kickstarter. So the people spoke, they didn't want the CGI, and that's... Harbinger Down was born. You heard about that, right? Harbinger Down, the film? The special makeup effects guys, they started a Kickstarter, and all of it was based on the hatred towards the CGI in the Thing remake.
Yeah.
And, the people spoke, and they... I forget what it was, like $500,000 they raised to, pretty much remake a movie like The Thing, but use zero CGI.
Fantastic.
So the people spoke.
Yeah.
No. A lot of people don't want the CGI.
What's your take on crowdfunding?
I think it's great.
Mm.
It puts it back in with the people. Like, the people should be the ones speaking, not the the corporations telling people what to like.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the people, man. If the people speak, the money people will follow.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of it being the other way around.
So okay, so now we're talking about effects past, effects present. Where do you see going in the future?
I don't see us going away. I think practical effects are here to stay. Mm-hmm. That rhymes, which is kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a couplet, cool. too. It's not going away.
Practical Ron effects are here to stay. Yeah, yeah. Couplet.
Actually, I made t-shirts. Monica. Do you hear that?
He's a pony, he doesn't even know.
That'd be so wild on a t-shirt. No, I don't see us going away, because people love to touch and you know, things in front of them, they like to see that. And...
oh yeah, I mean, I cleaned it off now, but I have the some blood from one of your severed heads. It's just such a thrill. It really is.
Well, I had an amazing time poking and prodding your little autopsy dummy over there.
Yeah, thanks. Jeff was getting a little intimate with this topless deceased person.
Yes, yeah, yes. Up in there. Yeah, plenty of space.
Twisting her nipple and, you know, and perusing her entrails.
Necromantic 3.
You know? Yeah.
It's a pretty big coffin. But, you know, yeah. the haunted houses and...
oh yeah, what business do you do other than film?
Well, thing. I mean, you do have a haunted house, don't you? Every October.
Well, not every October. I haven't done it in a little while. Okay. But
do you do next... stage stuff as well? Like, let's say for theater.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Like last year, we did George Romero's Night of Living Dead. We also did Evil Dead the Musical.
Right.
Yeah. So we've done a little bit of theater. It was a dream come true working with George. That was phenomenal. Super excited.
Wow.
And George Romero really is like the nicest guy.
He comes across as one of the good ones. You know?
Yeah, he is. Yep. He is. Yeah. Unlike some other people.
Shall remain nameless.
Yeah.
For all of our careers.
Come on, name some names. Yeah. Yeah.
No. We were talking about him earlier.
We were. We won't say anything.
Yeah, he's a douchebag. Yeah, George Romero, he's the man.
Yeah.
He's still the man.
So, moving forward, what projects are you working on right now that you're totally excited about?
Well, an exciting one that you mentioned earlier was Hunter's Moon. We did that, we wrapped that, I guess it was about 8 months ago or so. We actually created werewolves for that, werewolf suits, which was really exciting. We got to design them, and along with the stunt guys, we really coordinated some special stuff. Like these werewolves, we will be jumping off buildings and... you know, instead of just attacking people, they're going to be jumping and leaping, and you know, we got the blood tubes in there, and the we got to build the fiberglass under skull, so the mouth will be opening and closing, and you know, really, really excited. We had a little bit of a budget, so we got to create some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Art Hindle's in the film, and Colm Fiore's in it as well.
Nice.
Bobby Phillips, who's awesome, she's in it.
She's awesome. Awesomely bodacious.
She's amazing, man.
Isn't that beautiful?
She's amazing. She still looks good today, man. She looks phenomenal. She's aged very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, yeah, Save Yourself. We're excited about that as well. It's going to be premiering at the Blood and the Snow Festival in a mm-hmm. couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Along with Secret Santa, another film we worked on. You'll love that film. I think you'll love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we met the two guys behind it, and they seem super cool, classic, and they're excited and everything.
Classic 80s slasher.
Yeah, yeah.
Synthesizer music.
Awesome.
The
awesome.
Posters, old school 80s.
So yeah.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that one as well. What else are we excited about? Sicilian Vampire is another film we worked on, which is coming out very soon. Huge cast.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier.
Every Italian-American actor who's ever been born is in this film. Robert Loggia.
With the exception of Al Pacino.
You know, Sorvino. You know, you name it, they're in it.
Everybody's
in
it. Daryl Hannah's in it.
Yeah.
Mike Sorrell.
Yeah.
What else did we do? Monica, what else have we done?
Huh?
What else have we done?
Not to put you on the spot or anything. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Monica, what was it like working with this guy?
Carlos?
Yeah. This is Monica Pavez, guys.
Monica Pavez. Join the discussion.
Come join us, Monica.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, let us know how you got into this and what it is you do here.
How I got into this?
Yeah. What's your shop?
Well, I got into this because I was doing theater. Oh, no, it's not. Okay. I started off doing makeup for theater and decided that I wanted to go to school for it because it's awesome. And I finally realized you could do it as a career. And so I went to the same school that Carlos actually went to, but it's gone through a few other changes since then. But so in school, Ryan teaches at this school, and he hooked me up with working here after I finished school. And yeah, So I just started coming out and learning stuff, and yeah, so it's like a year and a half, whatever.
How long a program is this at
The school? It's 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like an 8 month intensive, and then you have the option.
So different classes in.
Sorry.
In, no, no worries.
In what?
They've got all kinds of stuff. So they do like hair, beauty, makeup, theater, film, and then towards the end you do like special effects and creature design and stuff, which is more what you kind of do in the shop here.
What the hell were we doing in university? Like, I know this sounds just so great.
I was getting a useless philosophy degree. I don't know about you, man.
Yeah, I was in a lab doing like zoology and whatever, and little lab experiments, you know. And
that's
nowhere.
Cool too, though.
And, yeah. Listen, now we got a horror website and podcast. So
yeah, so that's going to take you.
So I was gonna say, so are you a horror fan yourself?
It's probably a bit like blasphemous for me to say, but like I'm not a huge horror fan, to be honest. I'm a big fan of like movies in general.
Right. We got Wednesday Addams tattooed over there.
Yeah, I do. I like horror movies, but I'm not like a big horror fan in general. Mm-hmm. No. But I've like watched just from like working in this stuff or whatever, I've watched a bit more. Just because, I don't know, it's also self-referential. Like, everything you work on, people are like, okay, we want it to look like,
right.
You know, whatever. And we don't want it to look like this other thing.
Yeah.
Like, all right. So you kind of need to know what they're talking about. But, yeah.
But you do good work. And what's it like seeing your work up on the screen?
It's pretty awesome, actually. To be honest, I haven't, because I'm so new at all of this stuff, there's really not much of my work that I've seen on screen, because a lot of it just hasn't come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, post-production can take forever, or sometimes it just never happens. Like, even Carlos has always so many times, like, take pictures of your work, because you never know if things are, yeah, you never know if things are going to get finished or whatever, so... Mm-hmm. If you want to have shots of it or whatever.
Yeah, as long as the check's clear, right?
Exactly.
There's an alien movie that we worked on 3 years ago.
Where is
it? Where is it?
Yeah.
Kind of sad.
Yeah. No. But it is cool seeing some of your stuff. I've seen some of it up on screen or small screen or whatever, so it's pretty cool.
Well, guys, man, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thanks so much.
And before we go, Carlos, anything else you want to promote?
Yeah, plug.
Plug away. Your website, everything.
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about Bad of the Dead too, guys, like the Black Fawn movie that's coming out. Special shout out, there's loads of stuff in that, and Chad and Chris, those guys are awesome, man.
Yeah, we're big Black Fawn fans.
Yeah. Like, this is Jeff's directorial debut, and it's phenomenal, man. Like, I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's going to be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The effort that they put into this one is it's going to be a good one. I think it'll be their best one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can totally check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Website is www.thebutchershop.ca. And yeah, just check us out, man. We got loads of stuff coming out all the time, and we're updating all the time.
And you guys also do some mail order business through the website as well, right?
We do. We sell a lot of masks and props and, you know, replicas and things like that. And, you know, to see all of it, just please check out our site. And it's all out there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, man, like, I gotta say, like, I mean, coming to your shop, it's been absolute, like, I guess I feel like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, I'm looking around.
This is way better than a candy store.
I'm seeing Scrim, I'm seeing Michael Myers, I'm seeing Leatherface, I'm seeing Freddy Krueger, I'm seeing Gremlins 2, I'm seeing everything, man. This is fucking brilliant. I'm so glad we made the trip down to Hamilton.
Halloween every day, man.
It's
every single day.
And there's Pennywise over there, man. Like, everywhere I look, there's something for the a feast for the senses. So and it's really been really cool talking to you, man.
Yeah, same here.
Thanks
guys.
A lot.
Thank you so much.